The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We have an interview that's starting at this point in time, and we're talking about the TNT Film Festival, a documentary called Panaz. Let me welcome our guests to our program here this morning. We're supposed to have two guests. And we do have with us, let's say good morning to Adam Bartholomew. Good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Nice to have you with us. We're supposed to have another gentleman joining us. And I'm hoping that he does pretty soon. So let's begin our discussions with you at this point in time. As we begin, let me allow you the opportunity to familiarize the listener with you and much of what you've been involved with. Tell us a bit about yourself and the things that you're involved in.
So, good morning to all the listeners out there. My name is Adam Bartholomew. I'm 20 years old. I am now a second-year student in the Harvard College, Berklee College of Music dual degree program. So I'm getting the best of both worlds up here in Boston, studying film scoring at Berklee and molecular and cellular biology at Harvard. And for one of my music history classes last semester, we were given the assignment to do research on a musical entity that has helped to push social boundaries and defy social expectations through music. And so for that project, I decided to make a documentary on my uncle Barry Bartholomew's steel pan ensemble, Panaz, which rose to prominence in the 1990s. And I chose them because I've heard stories all my life from my family members about them. And I've always loved listening to their music. So I've always admired them. And so, and what they did was they helped to raise the status of our national instrument here in Trinidad and Tobago and across the globe as it toured. And so I thought it was the perfect topic and perfect band for this final project. And since then, submitting it to Harvard, my uncle and I decided to try submitting to the Trinidad and Tobago Film Festival. And thankfully, it was accepted, and we've been continuing to work on it since around May, and we're excited for next week when it's going to premiere at the film festival itself.
So, tell us about putting the documentary together.
Okay, so I guess it began in around March. I was given the prompt for this project, and my mind immediately went to Panaz. So I sent my uncle Barry, who's here with us, a message asking if he'd be willing to help me put together some interviews with some of the key players of Panaz. And so thankfully my spring break was coming up, which was like a week long that we have off. So I flew back to Trinidad for that spring break, and my uncle pulled together some of the key players, including himself, Dane Gulston, Natasha Joseph, and Donnell Thomas. And I was able to interview them, capture them on camera and on audio. And then my uncle also provided me with a lot of like archival footage and photographs, and provided me with all of Panaz's music. So over the next 2 months, I was able to put together this 1 hour documentary for my final project. So I'm very thankful to him for all the support that he gave to me there. And just the process of editing, all those hours, like kind of alone, just intimately interacting with all the footage, I think I was able to experience Panas in a way that I never was able to, because Panas disbanded in around 2003, and that's when I was born. So I've only experienced Panas up until editing this video through the music and stories here and there that I've heard. So it's been a real privilege to get to experience in a very deep way this band's epic story. And I hope that, like, everybody who comes to see the film or gets to see it at some point can share in that same super special experience.
I see we have a number of people joining. I'm trying to figure out, because I have a couple other people on the Zoom, and I'm not too sure exactly who, because I can't identify them by, it just says iPhone. I'm hoping that this is Mr. Barry Bartholomew with us on the Zoom.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, nice to have you with us here this morning. And as I did with our first guest, Adam, let me give you the opportunity to familiarize our listeners with you. Tell us a bit about yourself and some of what you've been involved in.
Okay, Barry Bartholomew. I was the founder and musical director and leader of Panas Players, which was formed back in 1993. We basically entered the competition. Sorry, we all formed the band really with the goal to enter the Ramajay competition, the Pan Ramajay competition. And that was our main goal at the time. So we entered the first year under the banner Potential Symphony, because we didn't have our own pans at the time. So, and the following 3 years with our own instruments, we won 4 years in a row, basically speaking. So that was our platform to take off and start touring the world. We did some major performances in Boston Symphony Hall, back-to-back years. The first year, it was a joint concert with the Mighty Sparrow. We opened the first half of that concert, and Sparrow was the second half, and it was phenomenal. I mean, our performance really got major standing ovations and whatnot, to the point that they decided to bring us back the next year as the main act at the Symphony Hall, which is, as you know, a very prestigious hall. And Professor Kilmore and his American-based band opened up for us. We went to Japan, did some couple of tours there, and St. Lucia Jazz Festival, back-to-back years there as well, all many states in America, Caribbean, whatnot. So it was a really, really amazing time of our lives. And unfortunately, during that period, social media wasn't big. There was no Facebook and TikTok and whatnot. So I'm sure most of Trinidad doesn't realize the extent to which we toured and spread the national instruments music, you know? This movie that Adam did brilliantly, I'm so glad he pushed me to do it, because initially I must admit that I wasn't too sure about it, because it will take a lot out of me and Adam to pull it off, you know? But once we pulled in a couple other players and got people to bounce off, Dean Gulston, Natasha Joseph, and Donald Thomas were pulled in, and I searched high and low all over the place to get the as much footage as I could find, and photographs, and coordinating the interviews, and etc. And in the end, it is a magical production. It really is. Very heartwarming, very feel-good, very informative, very educational, very bright and alive.
Let's get into persons being able to view the production, because putting it together, it's all well and good, and it documents an important part of our history, and a lot when it comes to the Panas Players. But where can people find the video? Where can people view the video? Where is it being premiered? And tell us about those things.
Well, as Adam mentioned earlier, after he submitted it to his professors in Harvard, he actually got an A+ for the project, because they were so impressed. I just thought to myself after seeing it that it has such potential to be utilized here in a big way. and we managed to get it into the film festival, the Trinidad and Tobago Film Festival. So it's now going to be featured in the film festival next week, Thursday at Movie Town, and then on Sunday, Under the Stars at Fatima College. So that's two huge, big shows.
We need to take a quick message, and when we get back, we'll be continuing our discussion, getting some more information from our guests about this documentary, Panaz, the documentary. Stay with us. Welcome back. 6:30, we're discussing Panaz, the documentary. I was speaking to Barry Bartholomew and Adam Bartholomew. I think we have a call. Let's see who this is. Oh, the person hung up. Try us back. 627-3223, 625-2257. And you can send your messages to 306-1065. Continuing our conversation, this documentary, it captures an interesting element of our culture. And one of the organizations that's very instrumental on the landscape. Tell our listeners why was it important to document this?
Adam? Oh, well, I thought Adam was on. Adam, are you there?
Yeah, I am on. Well, I think the significance of this documentary is pretty much what the significance of Panaz was and is, and what that significance is was to elevate the status of our national instrument, the steel pan, because historically, dating back to the 50s, when the instrument was being developed predominantly in the lower economic areas of Trinidad, I think that caused a large portion of society to kind of be condescending towards the instrument, while really and truly it's something that we should have always cherished. And so there was this negative stigma towards the pan. And so I really think Panaz, through their like flair and perfectionism and brilliance, we're able to be a big part of that movement in like defying those social stigmas associated with the instrument, and as I said, help to elevate it. And so why I say that the role of this, making this documentary, is basically what Panaz did, is that this documentary is shining a light on what they did, and in so doing, helping to elevate our national instrument as well. And maybe through this documentary, it can bring more people to cherish our national instrument as they should.
Mm. What are some of the social stigmas you speak of?
Well, I think people just, like, as is mentioned in the documentary, people saw, like, pan or something associated with, like, gangs and, like, not a real instrument. Or a lot of people have this misconception that pan is just noise and that sort of thing. So a lot of that would have, I guess, kept the instrument down. And all of the people who play the instrument, who are respectable musicians and should be respected as such, also down. And so those are the kind of social stigmas, I guess, that Panaz helped to overcome.
We've had numerous discussions on the program. This is a feature we've been running since January. A number of Pan people that I've spoken to, I kind of lost count. We've spoken to almost everybody you could think about in the Pan fraternity, the Pan Trinbago, you name it. We've spoken to them. And they all admit that the steel pan has not achieved the prominence that it should. You outline.
Can I interject?
Sure, I'd love you to.
Yeah, and I'll be pretty real about it. I've never said this publicly before, but I think now it might be the time. I think generally there were generations of kids who grew up hearing steel pan, basically on the radio for Panorama during Carnival. They will only hear pan on the radio live from the Savannah, where it really is a bad reproduction, because it's hard to get that quality of pan reproduced on the radio live, especially, you know. So all they would hear is tack, 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 and finish, and applaud, tack, 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 and a static sort of sound, you know what I'm saying? And I could sort of sympathize with a lot of the youth growing up, that sound is hard to relate to unless you're there live, you know, and experience it live. It's a whole different experience, and you can appreciate the full sound of pan, you know. There are so many good recordings out there of pan, and we have spent Panaz during our decade of existence making 5 of the best pan CDs around, and incorporating the best engineers, the best sound technicians, the best mastering engineers in America to finalize the products. And what used to hurt me so much was after each of our CDs were done, I mean, 5 CDs for one band is huge. You know, for any band in the world, 5 CDs is huge. We did 5 CDs, you know? And when the product would arrive in Trinidad, the excitement getting the product and then going to the radio stations one by one, I would remember handing it in, and they would all say 90% of the times, sorry, it's steel pan? No. Check the station down the road by Independence Square called Tempo. They play pan. Literally, that's where we're at. That was the reaction I would get. So therefore, if nobody hears a good quality pan recording, why would they want to like pan? Why would they want to buy this CD if they can't hear it on the radio? You know, we have this mental block here that we can't play pan on certain stations. It'll be damaging to their viewership, to the listeners, because how would I go look playing pan? And that's the reality we're at. So it's been very discouraging over the years for Panaz, and our main goal was to take it overseas and get the appreciation that we get overseas. And unfortunately, it's harder here to get that true appreciation in our own land.
Because what you do see in the documentary, as Panaz goes to like Boston, to Japan, to all over the place, you see the amount of respect that they as an ensemble and as pan players get abroad. And then you see that being contrast to how pan is viewed here at home, which is not in the same high regard, which is kind of ironic.
It's just not.
Seeing as pan came from Trinidad.
We have
a bit hypocritical as well. I mean, thank God for people like Celia Scott at 97.1. That's the one name I can think of who constantly played Panaz, you know, because it's such fine quality recordings. But once it's pan, stations just will not play it. And that's the reality. And I wonder if that would have happened in Jamaica, had pan been invented in Jamaica. I kind of doubt. But that's the weird battle we had over our lifetime, trying to sort of just push this envelope and get pan to be appreciated in a real way, not in a hypocritical way, loving pan in February only.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up about Jamaica and what the experience would have been. In 2014, I had the opportunity to visit Jamaica. And while you're there, you have a perception, because of what you hear and what you see and you read and all that kind of thing, of what you might encounter when you get there.
Yeah. And it's a whole different embrace. A whole different embrace.
It is.
It's part of the DNA.
But one of the things that I noticed, because I worked on radio, I paid closer attention to it. You're going over there and you're expecting to hear Bob Marley all the time on the radio because he's iconic and you hear him all over the place. Yeah. And I spent about 3 or 4 days in Jamaica, and I can't remember hearing one Bob Marley song on the radio. Not one. And the people who we were with, they had the radio on all the time. And I just thought it was interesting, the perception that I had, that because Bob Marley is from Jamaica, you would expect that every radio announcer, every radio station would be blasting Bob Marley. But that wasn't the case.
Well, not necessarily.
I
wouldn't expect that.
But I was just highlighting how my perception was wrong. Of what I expected. And here at home, we have a raging discussion about local content in the media.
Yeah.
And that, the TTPBA, then everybody else, they've been having their discussions. We're no closer to figuring it out. But when it comes to PAN on the radio, we had a robust discussion about PAN recently. August 11th was International Steel Pan Day. And that was quite an achievement for the steel pan, a musical instrument that was born in this little dot when it comes to the world's stage. And during those discussions leading up to that day, on that day and subsequent to that, a number of people lamented that the steel pan does not get that kind of appreciation at home. And you have to ask yourself the question, why? And yeah. let's be, in a population of 1.4 million people, how many people really and truly deep down in their hearts accept the steel pan as as theirs? And we have to, well, why is there this lack of patriotism? What do you think it is?
That's the big question. Why is there this lack of patriotism? Yes, that's deep. I can't even, that's a whole story. I'm not quite sure what the answer to that was. There's so many youths, so many thousands of youths who play Pan to Panorama. And that's brilliant. That's so encouraging. And that's it's almost like their second home, the Panyards, you know. And I emphasize the word home because it's family in a Panyard, and it's fun and it's whatnot. But the irony is, most of those youths don't go to hear other bands play. So how do we explain that? You don't find those youths going to Napa to hear All Stars in concert. You don't find those youths going to hear or playing a Pan CD or, you know. It's a strange circle, a cycle. I don't know what could be done. I think more airplay on the radio Pan is a start.
There
are many good recordings, you know.
Yeah, there's a question here sent in saying, why can't such a documentary be shown on regular TV so that the nation can view? How many people will be able to see it at the film festival?
Yeah. What do you think, Adam?
Well, yeah, we're definitely looking into that possibility. But what we definitely want is for like it to premiere first at the film festival, and then beyond that, we can figure out how we will distribute it so that any and everybody could see it. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want most, for people to see it and be moved by it and in some way impacted. But in terms of this film festival itself, so the first showing will be at Movie Town on Thursday, this coming Thursday, the 21st.
At 5:30 p.m.
And the tickets just went on sale in the box office at Movie Town yesterday. And so they're going super fast. So
to the point where, Adam, the first sale in 6 minutes, it was in a smaller theater, it sold out in 6 minutes. So we have just got to transfer to the bigger screen in Cinema One. So tickets are now back available again. I would suggest anybody who wants to get a ticket from Movie Town would go down today and quickly get your tickets before it sells out today or tomorrow. And then there's Fatima, Adam. Talk about that as well.
Yeah, so the second showing, which I think is going to be really special as well, is the Under the Stars screening at Fatima College in the college grounds. It's going to be a special event sponsored by Shell. And the significance of Fatima to me is that that's my alma mater. I graduated from there a year or two ago. And so it'll just be special to make full circle and come back there. And for that particular Under the Stars showing, it's free admission. All you have to do is go to the Pan-Asi Story Facebook page and click the link that was posted there to fill out a form. And basically by filling out that form, you'll be added to the list, so that once you come to Fatima, you'll be allowed to enter and enjoy the whole experience. And so that's Fatima Sunday, the 24th of September, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So we have Thursday, the 21st of September at Movie Town at 5:30 p.m. And then Sunday, the 24th of September at Fatima College, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay. Let's take a couple of calls. Hello, good morning.
A pleasant good morning, Satish. A pleasant good morning to the Bartolomeo brothers. I feel that our problem is marketing. We do not properly market PAN, which is a tricky thing, and we should be doing that. The direct question is, what can we do, Mr. Bartholomew, to really promote PAN, to get people to really appreciate the art form as music? And I'm saying this because of the fact that PAN is really known at panorama time, and off and on you in a function, whatever, you may hear one tune or two tunes played by somebody. But what can we do to really have people appreciate it? Like, take, for instance, in a fete or in the major hotels, I feel, at least on the weekends, we should have PAN wherever we have tourists staying in these hotels and so on. We do not have it. Even at the airport, flights coming in and so on, I think we should have PAN being played. And that is to say, with major tunes, the calypsos and so on, that people will really appreciate, so we can tie it in. How do you respond to that? I thank you.
Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I could start. You could look at it at many levels, I think. You could look at it at the individual level, where, like, each person has to find it within themselves to support PAN in whatever capacity they can. And then another level you could look at it on is, like, at, I guess, I don't know if this is weird, but, like, the kind of corporate level, because you have all these brilliant PAN sides, from Renegades to All Stars to Phase 2, that have all their stage sides, side ensembles all throughout the year. And it's just a matter of businesses sponsoring events to hire them. And because they're ready to go on form, it's just a matter of hiring more and getting them out there, I guess, so that more people could experience the quality of PAN, and that would kind of in itself propagate.
I can interject as well. I agree. Other islands of the Caribbean probably have more PAN presence in airports and hotels than we do ourselves here. Why is that happening? That's another story, but I don't know what could be done to boost that. There are so many PAN sides, as I said here, who have great CDs as well. And as I mentioned earlier on, if there's no airplay on the radio, then how else can we get the music out there to feel proud about the music? Because we don't want to play it on the radio. Because most people don't even realize. I remember when we did our five CDs, I would go to the mall with headphones back then and my little Walkman CD player. And I would go to people just arbitrarily and ask, can you listen to this? Are you a PAN fan? And they would probably say, not really, you know, but listen to this. I'll put the headphones on their heads and they'd be like, wait, that's PAN? That's PAN? Because they don't know. They really just don't know the good qualities and the way PAN could actually sound in a good recording scenario, you know? And that used to always amaze me, because they are shocked to hear it's something that they can understand and it's familiar and it's rounded off, it's a beautiful tone, they're not beating the PAN, they actually play in the PAN. And, you know, that's an eye-opener for me.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate here. Just to further the discussion, I'm Trinbagonian, but why should I like PAN? And let me tell you why I'm asking the question the way I'm asking it. You have all different kinds of musical instruments.
Yeah.
You have saxophone, you have piano, you have guitar, you have all kinds of things. It's not necessarily a case where people have to like all of them. And preference and taste comes into play as well. Why is there this school of thought that because the PAN was invented in Trinidad and Tobago, and because it's described as it is our national instrument, there is this view that if I don't like PAN, I'm unpatriotic. Is that justified?
Well, I think nobody would like PAN if they don't hear PAN played properly.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't hear the musicians playing PAN the way it should be, I think you will not necessarily warm to PAN, because all you're hearing is panorama on the radio or on TV. That's all you're going to hear for the entire year, is that reproduction of PAN on the TV or the radio. And you've never in your life heard what a PAN could really sound like played, you know, as a soloist or a small band in a proper recording session, you know, or CD. That's, I'm not saying everybody should like PAN. No, obviously not. We all have different instruments we like. But if it's not showcased in the right way, how would you know if you like it or not?
Mm.
Yeah, and that's the problem. We're not giving it a chance. We're not giving it a chance.
Well, yes. Okay.
Also, can I add to that?
Sure.
Even if from like a musical standpoint, a couple of people don't necessarily like the sound of Pan for one reason or another, I think regardless of that, the steel pan should be something that we as Trinbagonians are all proud of, because it was formed out of a struggle of our people to find a way to express themselves and bring themselves together, despite African drumming being banned, followed by tambu bambu being banned. And so the development of pan is evidence of our resilience as a people. So even if you happen to not like the sound of pan, the fact that we've been able to develop the only acoustic instrument in the 20th century is something that we as a people should be proud of.
Yeah. And if not necessarily, let's use the words, if not like, at least respected. And those are two fundamental differences. You could not like something, but you could still have the respect for it. I think that is where we need to focus. It's always an interesting discussion, because every time we talk about it, these same nuances come to the fore, that there is not necessarily the kind of support or appreciation or love or promotion that the steel pan deserves. We now have an international stage with the UN declaring August 11th World Steel Pan Day. It is now left to us as a people, as a country, as the promoters, as the people who are involved, the pan side, this one, that one, the next one, to capitalize on this world stage that we've been given, so that the pan gets the kind of recognition that people like yourself say it so desperately and legitimately requires and deserves.
Yeah.
But this is where we're going to have to... Yes, go ahead.
Could I just add one more thing? You mentioned that the steel pan is the national instrument. And while we affectionately do call it our national instrument, the reality is that, like, in the Constitution or whatever the case may be, it is not officially recognized as, like, one of our national symbols. So, you know, you have the national anthem, the coat of arms, the national bird, the and whatnot. And steel pan really should be recognized officially as our national instrument, because as you say, there's this whole international drive, but really and truly we have to start here at home. And so in addition to the individual level I was talking about and the corporate level, I think there's also like the governmental level that needs to step in and just recognize this as an official national symbol, so that just like our national bird, just like our national anthem, we can have some kind of official recognition of...
It's all bewildering to me. It's bewildering that this is still a debate. It's bewildering, but I'm not going to go further into that one. It's just bewildering that at this stage, we're still trying to figure out, is there another instrument going to pop up that could be competitive with pan? Like, why? No. Why? Just go do it. Announce it. Make it happen. Jesus. I mean, come on. There's one national instrument, but that's for another political show.
This we're going to have to leave the interview, because we have a couple of messages to take us up to news. As the text has suggested, it would be great if people can have access to this documentary somewhere. I don't know if it's on social media, if it's on traditional media or wherever else outside. Yes, launching it at the film festival is great, but that's a very limited capacity of persons who will be able to view it there. And for wider appreciation, I mean, the world is your stage now. And if we're looking to promote the thing, as many people viewing this documentary as possible is a step in the right direction. So I want to thank both of you.
We're definitely looking into that possibility of showing it on national TV sometime very soon. And just before you close, I want to also mention that there are so many great movies in this film festival that I hope that everybody takes a look at the website, tntfilmfestival.com. it is an amazing array of movies, and there's a great season pass as well available for those who want to incorporate all of the movies, you know.
I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning and giving us an insight into this documentary, into the discussion, Pan, the national instrument, and some of the things that we will continue to discuss for quite some time, apparently. Thank both of you for being with us here this morning and being our special guests.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, that, of course, Barry Bartholomew and Adam Bartholomew.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.